This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Today is Monday, June 1st. What to know about mass protests across the U.S. We've seen everything from violent confrontations to unexpected signs of solidarity. And there's an update about the case that sparked it all. Plus, what happened at the historic rocket launch, returning to college sports, and who's buying bikes at an unprecedented pace. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. For 6 straight days, protests against police brutality have been raging across America. The crowds have been calling for justice for George Floyd, who died after his violent arrest in Minnesota. Even after the officer who kneeled on his neck was arrested Friday and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter, the protests continued, many demonstrating against broader injustice. Protesters have chanted or displayed the names of several Black Americans who have been killed at the hands of police officers or in other racist attacks. Those protests that started in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, quickly became national and then this weekend even international. In the U.S., Saturday and Sunday, protests spread from Boston to San Francisco, Washington, D.C. to Seattle, Dallas to New York City, Atlanta to Chicago, and so on. More than 24 mayors put overnight curfews in place, and about 5,000 National Guard troops were activated in 15 states and Washington, D.C. Because while tens of thousands of people marched peacefully, many of the protests did escalate. The Washington Post reports police arrested at least 2,500 people across the country. Some demonstrators, and likely others who took advantage of the situation, set fires, robbed stores in broad daylight, and left destruction in many areas. At least 5 people were shot and killed in 4 cities around the U.S., including a federal contract security officer who was watching over a protest in Oakland, California. It doesn't appear police officers were involved in any of the other shootings. But there were some dangerous confrontations between demonstrators and police, and reports say both officers and protesters were hurt. In several cities like Dallas, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C., police used tear gas to get protesters to scatter. Officers around the country also used rubber bullets, which hurt quite a few people. For example, a freelance photographer in Minneapolis says she's now permanently blind in her left eye from one of those rubber bullets. And some violent incidents were captured on video. In New York City, 2 police vehicles plowed into protesters, and several people were knocked to the ground. While it's caused more outrage, New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio defended the officers. He said they were threatened by a crowd that had been throwing bricks and other objects at the SUVs. But another incident caught on camera did lead to 2 police officers getting fired for the use of excessive force. In Atlanta, video showed a group of officers in riot gear pulling 2 college students out of their car. The officers reportedly flattened their tires and used stun guns on both the man and woman. The AP reports the couple was arrested for trying to elude police, but charges have now been dropped. All of that said, there were also signs of unity between law enforcement and protesters. In places like New York City, Santa Cruz, California, and Norfolk, Virginia, police officers joined protesters. They kneeled, marched, and chanted along with the crowds. Well, protests have also been tense outside the White House. As of early this morning, fires are burning in the streets nearby, and police fired tear gas to try and stop protesters from causing damage in the area. Earlier on Friday, the New York Times reports Secret Service agents rushed the president to an underground bunker for about an hour. Meanwhile, law enforcement and federal officials are investigating whether extremists are helping fuel the violence at nationwide protests. Chicago's mayor, for example, said looters were coordinated, listening to radio traffic, then bringing U-Haul trucks into busy areas to load up with stolen goods. President Trump blames the far left, though some news sources like the AP spoke to experts who say there's evidence of the far right being involved as well. For example, Minnesota officials said white supremacists may have been mixing with protesters. Either way, the FBI is reportedly working with local authorities to figure out exactly who crossed state lines to specifically incite violence and steal from businesses. In a statement last night, Attorney General William Barr said the Justice Department would be charging what he called violent agitators who hijacked peaceful protests. President Trump went a step further. On Twitter, he specifically said the U.S. would classify Antifa as a terrorist organization. Though it's not clear that he can do that for a couple of technical and legal reasons, but Antifa is short for anti-fascists. Historians say members believe violence is justified for their cause, thinking as long as racist and fascist groups exist, brutality will too. We expect President Trump to clarify or comment on that tweet in the coming days. Well, back in Minneapolis, the intersection where George Floyd was killed is now blocked with traffic cones, a mural, and a ring of flowers. 1 week ago today, it was there that a white officer, Derek Chauvin, held a knee to Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes. Eventually, an ambulance arrived and took him to the hospital, where he died. Well, as we briefly mentioned earlier, there's an update on that case. The former officer was arrested and charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. He could eventually spend up to 35 years in prison. Floyd's family, though, released a statement saying the charges don't go far enough. They want him charged with first-degree murder. Legal experts told the Minneapolis Star Tribune the issue is prosecutors would need to prove Chauvin intended to kill Floyd to get first- or second-degree murder charges. The three other officers who were there but didn't stop the violence were fired, but not charged, at least not yet. One Minnesota prosecutor hinted that might change. Well, besides the violence, there's another big concern about this weekend's protests, and that's the looming threat of COVID-19. Atlanta mayor reminded protesters, quote, "There is still a pandemic in America that's killing black and brown people at higher numbers." This weekend, there were almost no signs of social distancing. Many protesters were wearing face coverings, but the CDC points out that doesn't guarantee protection. Those masks just minimize the risk. The Minnesota Health Commissioner warned that protests are almost certain to fuel new infections. And one more note about the new coronavirus. President Trump made good on his threat to withdraw from the World Health Organization, and not just cutting off funding, but leaving altogether. Trump has criticized the UN Health Agency, saying it didn't warn the world soon enough about COVID-19. But health experts are worried. They say getting rid of that international cooperation will hurt America's response to this pandemic and other emerging diseases. Politico reports it's not yet clear how quickly Trump can withdraw or if he actually does need the go-ahead from Congress. So stay tuned. We have more news ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor this week. You probably already know reading books is one of the best ways to learn more about a topic or understand a certain perspective, and I love reading books, but I'll be honest, I only get through so many. And that's why I also love the app Blinkist. It's my go-to for three things. One, when I want to know more about a topic, but not necessarily read an entire book about it. Two, when I need some quick tips or knowledge ASAP. Or three, for a few minutes of motivation in the mornings. It's possible because Blinkist provides the best key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes each. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to the books you want for one low price. For example, a trending book on Blinkist right now is called Talking Across the Divide: How to Communicate with People You Disagree With. Or check out the popular ones like The 4-Hour Workweek. Just go to Blinkist.com/news to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and save 25% when you sign up. Now, back to the news. Well, they made it. NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley are now on board the International Space Station. The historic SpaceX launch Saturday was successful, marking not only the first time SpaceX took humans to space, but also the first time in nearly a decade America has sent astronauts into orbit from U.S. soil. Within 12 minutes of liftoff, the astronauts reached orbit. And then about 19 hours later, they safely docked at the ISS. As for what's next for Behnken and Hurley, they could stay aboard the ISS for up to 4 months before returning to Earth. Meanwhile, CBS News reports NASA and SpaceX are already planning their next launch, which could carry a 3-man, 1-woman crew to the ISS in late August. Some major brands are responding to the weekend protests. YouTube, for example, pledged $1 million to fight social injustice. And Apple is promising to match staff donations 2-to-1 this month. And many other companies have donated or released statements saying they stand by the protesters. Though the AP reports some nationwide chains like Target, Walmart, CVS, and Apple had to close some stores, at least temporarily, in major cities. This mainly because stores were broken into or damaged in those areas. Amazon is also rerouting and suspending some deliveries in major cities to make sure drivers stay safe. There seems to be a new popular item to buy because of the pandemic. Bicycle sales are apparently skyrocketing as people look for ways to get outside. The research firm NDP Group found bike sales in March doubled and even tripled in some cases from the same time last year. And now the demand for bikes is up so much, some companies are completely selling out or it's taking them 6 weeks to fulfill orders. Experts say they think this is because people are looking for outdoor and kid-friendly ways to cope with those stay-at-home recommendations. Or in other cases, people are avoiding public transportation where there are more crowds. We have a quick sports update for you. Starting today, the NCAA is letting student athletes use school facilities once again. It clears the way for voluntary workouts and some training to restart. Though keep in mind, schools apparently have plans to test athletes, coaches, and staff for COVID-19 and will be implementing some social distancing measures. Major League Baseball is also trying to make a slow crawl back to normal. After the start of the season was postponed back in March, NBC Sports says some teams have begun training again. There's still no official date on when the season could start, but it sounds like the league is hoping for July. We'll see. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today. But now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. Students taking on federal student loans this year will get at least one upside from the tough economic situation right now. The lowest interest rates in history. CNN reports undergrads can expect a 2.75% interest rate on a federal direct Stafford loan this academic year. That's down from 4.53% in the past school year. That's a 40% drop. Yet one expert explained, even though the rates have never fallen this far, this fast, it might not actually impact monthly payments that much. The savings are about $100 in interest per year for every $10,000 borrowed in a 10-year term. And the new rates only apply for new loans taken out for this academic year. All right, thank you so much for listening today. The Newsworthy is ready for you to listen every weekday by 4 in the morning. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned. Just go to thenewsworthy.com/shownotes. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.